My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey sports station.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Blow that horn again, brother. Blow that horn again.
That's right. It's the Texans Victory Monday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, and you've got myself, Reginald Atitula. After a 29-27 victory for your Houston Texans in Indianapolis against the Colts, 1-0, alone in first place.
How about that?
In the AFC South.
It's over, baby. That's a wrap.
There we go. Go ahead and run us our trophy. It's up. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Victory Monday. Get involved with the program a multitude of the ways. You can see us and our smiling faces on YouTube or Twitch. That is Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, 610 Houston on Twitch. But always get involved with the program by texting in. 713-572-4610. Again, that number, 713-572-4610. As we talk about all of the things around a 29-27 victory, getting the season started, the 2024 NFL campaign for your Texans, starting 1-0. But we got to start with this, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk about the man on the night, there's a few options that you can go with. But I think that the right man to talk about is the man in this highlight right here who helped salt this game away.
First down lets you walk out of here with a win. Third down and three from the Houston 48 I formation. Collins in motion to the right. Mixon the tailback. Stroud digs in. Here's the snap. Here's the toss to Mixon running right across the 50, 45. Tackled by Cross at the 41. Checkmate. That'll do it. The Texans will beat the Colts on opening day.
Yeah, man, salting the game away was Joe Mixon, RB1,
yep.
Right? Well, enough consternation about RB2. RB1 is here, mm-hmm. Giving you 159 running yards. I think that, let me say that one more time for you, just in case you didn't hear that. 159 rushing yards on 30 attempts.
Damn near career high.
For Joe Mixon. Add a touchdown rushing as well. And, oh my God, just how happy are you to have Joe Mixon on this Texans
team?
Well,
let me ask Texans fans here, and it'll explain how happy I am with this performance yesterday. When was the last time you saw the Texans in a clutch situation against a division team, probably your best competition in the division, in a season opening game, play grown ass man football. Seriously, that was grown ass man football. I mean, like, when was the last time? Figgy, you've been here a long time. Listeners been here since the start. I mean, when?
Hell, when was the last time you seen a running back like that, to be honest?
Yes. Like, just
it's been a minute since, probably, what, since Arian? Was that the last time you seen somebody that
down? Probably since Arian Foster.
I mean, when you see 160 yards thrown up, don't forget 19 yards out of the backfield, a little bit of, just some light, you know, just add that in. yeah, you got to compare him against one of the better, if not the best, running backs in this team's history. Yeah, he's already making those kind of statements a reality and a reasonable thing to say. It matters so much. It matters so much, like this weapon that you wield now, because again, right, this team was far from one-dimensional in this game because of, in large part, because of Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon gave a lot of praise to that offensive line, and we'll get to that in a moment. But just to continue to heap love and praise on this man, it just felt like whenever he touched the football, tackle for loss was not an option, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that was the thing that was super impressive to me, right? Was obviously there was wiggle and there was, you know, hitting the hole, but it just felt like if he got the ball, he was taking whatever was blocked up for him, whether that was no yards, 3 yards, 5 yards, and adding on top of it. He was like, you put in yours, offensive line, I'm adding mine.
Yeah, no, and people use the term, boy, he was running angry. That was the epitome of that, but I think there was another dimension to it. It wasn't just this was a dude that was running angry. As I said, maybe the first time since Arian that you saw the Texans play that kind of football in that kind of atmosphere. But he was also smart with how he picked the holes.
Yes.
He was perfect for this offense.
Vision was gorgeous.
Perfect for this offense. It was absolutely a joy to watch. And frankly, look, you know, you can call it reaction Monday. You can call it overreaction Monday.
I'll do all of it.
I don't think this is an overreaction when I say that even though that was just the first week of the season, we already know that the Texans have what it takes to win in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. You're jumping there.
No, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Like, if you transported that game into the postseason, we'd be talking about a complete playoffs.
Thank you, Jim.
A complete team that, you know, in the moment, on the road, by the way, can not just make the plays with an incredible catch by Nico Collins, with some terrific play calling from Bobby Slowick. Everything just seemed to be timed right with his play calling, with C.J. Stroud sort of bouncing out of the pocket like a polished 10-year veteran. You can talk about all the things that they had, but they've in the playoffs, you got to have that finishing mentality.
Yeah.
And that's what they had.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Bobby Slowick, because that was one of the guys that we were like, all right, we want to see some things this year. You were fantastic play calling last year, but hey, can you draw up and can you scheme up this run play? Run play is a little bit better. And one of the things that I noticed as I was actually taking notes during the course of this game, an improvement for me, and I'll have a confession about that later on in the program when we get our lunchtime confessions at 12:20. But one of my notes that I wrote is the rushing game looks great. How much better is the scheme when a player is unblocked and Mixon can make them miss,
yes,
right? Like when we talk about run assignments, right? The idea of hat on hat, right? You have you know, an offensive lineman for this defensive lineman, or one of the offensive linemen is duo blocking up to get to the linebacker, or you have the, you know, wide receiver crack blocking in on a linebacker, what have you. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their assignments, and sometimes in a run scheme, there's a guy unblocked, and that's the running back's man, right? Yeah. And the running back's job is make that one guy miss, and now we have something special. And it felt like it was abundantly clear that Joe Mixon is a guy that is capable, more than capable, in fact, of having that assignment for himself in schemes. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is another way to elevate the run game, is just having a running back that goes, you guys handle those, that guy's my responsibility,
I mean, they scheme
and we'll
it
get
way.
This done.
They scheme it that way. And I'm, again, I don't feel like I'm overreacting, because what we saw doesn't go away. Like, you know, barring injury, knock on wood, but I mean, it doesn't go away. What he has and what they have with this running game, complementing one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, mind you, it's like D'Amico said afterward. After the game, D'Amico said, they knew we were going to run the ball. We knew we were going to run the ball, and we smashed it down their throats. I'm paraphrasing what he said.
Yeah.
But
that, say he said that?
No.
Man.
But that's in essence what he said. They knew, we knew. And we smashed it down their throat.
Yeah, I had a very suspect segue in my head, which was speaking of throats, when it came to D'Amico Ryans, did you guys hear him on the podium after this game. It sounded like he did a lot of hollering. I was like, hey, man, there's 16 more of these just in the regular season.
Get
Go ahead
to
and
it.
Pace yourself, my man. But let's just mention the quarterback of this team, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud was actually asked about how critical Mixon was and his consistency to get the team going.
It was huge. Yeah, I think definitely when you can impose your will running the ball, you open up a whole multitude of type of players for Bobby to call. And honestly, we just kept going to it, and I think it was working. And I think this is a testament that, like, you can see everybody had numbers today, you know. Maybe not everybody. Some it was skewed in other ways, but, you know, everybody touched the ball. We try to call plays for guys, you know what I mean, for everybody to have opportunity to get it. And I think whenever you get those guys the ball, like, they make plays happen. So, for me, I just got to get them the ball as best as I can and not force anything and just really, you know, understand that those guys are going to make me look good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm telling you, those guys are going to make him look good. And people were saying, well, C.J. Stroud was all right. C.J. Stroud was great. He just didn't need to throw for 360 yards as he has in the past. And for Joe Mixon to be that compliment, it's not going anywhere. It's the template for how this team is going to win in the postseason. And he is great. Like let's not you know, mess around with anything. What he did in some of those runs was not just like, you know, finding the hole, making one man miss. It was finding something when someone wasn't there too.
Yeah, But going back to Mixon, because I think one of the words that he used was punish in the run game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, that's one of the things that was also great about it is that there was a variety of run, right? Like it wasn't just, oh, this is speedy and, you know, finding the gaps. Sometimes it was just run through MF or space, right?
Exactly.
And that was one of the things that was real fun about this as well. And I guess that's the thing that you were talking about to start the show is like if you have the opportunity to really punish a team, you can get the dirty yards. And I mean, the play that salts this game away. Like there was a couple of instances that I can recall vividly where I'm like, oh, that's blocked up for either a tackle for a loss or no gain. And Mixon gets 3 yards out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like those are the things that are really incredible. And I want to hear from the man in one of the ways in which he shared the love, because this is no running game is a one man proposition. Although if you're a Texans fan and you wanted to make it a one man proposition with Joe Mixon, I would understand where you were coming from, seeing the ways that like what the running game looked like in preseason when you had 4 or 5 starting linemen versus what it looks like, obviously, when you're actually running, you know, the fullness of your playbook and have the full complement out there. But I mean, Joe Mixon here, he talked about like the offensive lineman and gave a little shout out to a pseudo fullback in the course of this.
No doubt. That's exactly what it was. I mean, you know, I've been on the lineman, you know, training camp. I wasn't in there too much in training camp, but I'm just letting them know what I see, how to hit and how to be, man. And they doing everything they can to open them holes and do everything that we got to make them however we can to make them pay, man. And first off, special shout out to Stover. I mean, he made critical blocks. Them guys on the edges, they make crucial blocks and we made them pay. But, you know, like they said, the grown man football, I'm just happy. This is my first time really probably seeing the fullback, and I can't remember the last time I seen a fullback in front of me, man. So it's a hell of a feeling, man, being on the winning side of the things. And I'm just glad I'm on this side of, you know, playing with Houston, man.
He's got to be thinking, and actually he referenced this on the field afterwards with NBC, like, I am so glad I'm out of Cincinnati. Like, I am so glad I'm out of Cincinnati. He basically said that. But let's talk about Stover.
Let's do it.
And this offensive line. You know, I had this hunch. Remember I was in the last preseason, the third preseason game? I was like counting how many times. You could see this coming. You could see this coming. Cade Stover, and here's the other part of it. They are just skimming the surface with what some of the stuff that they can do with Stover in that role, you know?
Yeah.
And then the offensive line. Kenyon Green. I mean, my goodness. He was the highest rated offensive lineman on the Texans yesterday. Kenyon Green. But it was the whole line, you know, starting with Juice Scruggs, who really, really controlled the middle on some of those. And then you heard him talking about the edge there. So the offensive line, Cade Stover, huge, huge. And the potential seems to be off the charts.
Yeah, I do want to go back to fullback as well, because I want to give out a little shout out to Dalton Schultz, who also kind of had some of those fullback touches. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, the idea of like fullback necessary, I think, is very early on been dispelled in some ways, at least like a true fullback when it comes to on the roster. They get the fullback things when they need to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Stover getting a shout out from the running back, that matters a lot. Brevin did a little bit. Schultz did a little bit. Like, I feel confident, especially because of the matchup that you had, right? We were talking about how week one versus Indy, with the interior of their defensive line, with the way that they have, you know, linebackers in flank, Franklin and Speed. I know there was beef, but those guys, obviously, very good linebackers, right? Mm-hmm. With the challenges rather that defense poses, was it going to be a litmus test on various things? One of those being the interior offensive line and your run game. You pass with with flying colors, right? Yeah. I don't even know what the step up would be from flying colors. And so, with that being the case, like this is proof of concept for me, real proof positive that the interior of this offensive line has really improved. Mm-hmm. And that the run game, as you mentioned, is going to be something that's sustainable and something that can help sustain you through the course of a run through the regular season and also hopefully a deep postseason run as well.
And don't forget either, that looks like a playoff team you just beat. I mean, all due respect I shouldn't say all due respect. I mean, obviously you got to kind of see what happens with Anthony Richardson. It's kind of feast or famine with him. But that looks like a playoff team. It's definitely a playoff defense. What was, you know, one of the big things about the Colts was, oh man, that defensive front. Oh man, that offensive line. And they just worked them. They just absolutely worked them with that offensive line. It's it's a good, good start for this season because I think it has all the elements of what you can do in the postseason. And frankly, that wasn't the case even last year. I mean, mixing and matching in the backfield, offensive line.
Did there mixing and matching?
Oh, I see what you said. See, and mixing and matching as well on the offensive line. I didn't even mean to do
huzzah.
That. I didn't even mean to do that one, but I'll take it.
Hey.
Nah, man. It's they have all the elements, everything you need to do.
Yeah, had
everything
to,
you need to
had to start with the man with 159, almost 160 rush yards in the game. I mean, shout out to Joe Mixon. Look, it feels almost silly. We will still talk about it because Cam Akers was made inactive. So we'll circle back around to that whole RB2 conversation, how we feel about that. But it almost feels silly, the amount of conversation that we had. And we you know, had a little bit of the disclaimer that, look, Joe Mixon's going to get the lion's share of carries in this thing. Like, we understood that to be the case. I don't know if we understood it to be 30 carries.
30
in week
carries.
One. I don't know if we saw that coming.
Like in 1979.
Like, it almost feels funny the amount of consternation that we had about the run game and the offensive line. And there's still things to be improved and polished. But in week one, just, I mean, I don't know that I expected them to be this, you know, this well or do this well this early into the season, man. I'm riding high off of that particular portion.
I mean, they're just, you know, let's go back to what I said. They, and so you heard CJ Stroud say it. They impose their will. When was the last time you saw a Texans team do that? And by the way, you saw that with a real Super Bowl contender, so I think you can draw the parallel last night. What did the Detroit Lions do in order to win that game in over? They imposed their will. No. I think on that winning drive in overtime, they ran the ball 7 out of 8 times. That is a bona fide, acknowledged Super Bowl contending team that beat a playoff team in the LA Rams. Well, what did the Texans do? Bona fide, impose your will, you know, pound the ball down their throat.
Grown-ass
man football. That is where you can go, okay, they are better. They can get there. That's how I left that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
They can get there.
Shout out to the 832 on the text line. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't ignore in defeat. And look, there's definitely time for that. We've got what I like to call our Victory Monday nitpick at 1 p.m. We'll talk about that later in the program. And also the idea of someone was mentioning Nico Collins, right? And the idea of Nico, you know, showing folks what he is and who he is. And you know what? Let's get to that. But also, Stephon Diggs, right? A couple of touchdowns. Obviously, there was a lot of talk around this man. Let's talk about it. Stephon Diggs, how he showed out, and the distribution of the ball when it comes to the wide receiver core, because that was something that we had a lot of conversation about. Let's talk about that more next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yes, sir. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Texans Victory Monday, 29-27 victory over the Colts in Indy. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Get involved with the program on the text line, 713-572-4610. You can also do that on the YouTube and Twitch. YouTube is already, I don't know if this, are they clowning me, Fig? Is that what's happening? Somebody said, when did James Harden get into the studio? And it looks like he finally got in shape.
That's a very good comment.
Really?
Good. Yeah. Okay. They said you look like somebody else too. Once.
Yeah. Time. Apparently. Well, I mean, it's one of the folks that's followed me from Dallas. Appreciate you, D-Mavs.
Gilligan.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I am wearing the bucket hat. Shout out to the W. But yeah, yeah. Jalen Brown.
Oh yeah, that was the other
Hooper
one.
For the Boston Celtics is the one that I've gotten a decent amount. I guess let me know if you agree. But yeah, you guys can get involved by texting in 713-572-4610, which shout out to the 713 who did that. Said we won by 2 against the Colts. Come on. Well, first of all, I thought we were appreciating what was by far something that was a incredible progress offensively.
Clearly
the thing that they did the best was running the football.
Yes.
We started there, and so we wanted to give them their plaudits for it. Second of all, this offense scored 29 points in this game.
It did.
Right? Like, that's not something that we should get jaded by. We want to have the appreciation of that.
Should have been 32, but we'll get to that.
And this is a good team.
Yeah.
The Colts was a good team.
I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm not certain just yet, but I think they're at least cusp, playoff cusp type team.
Yeah, very much. You know,
they got a strong team, man.
With Taylor and the Lions and the life and times of Anthony Richardson, they could be a playoff.
The quarterback is the question, but
he also lights you up.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, 160 yards on the ground. Look, the man carried the ball 30 times and averaged over 5 yards a carry. That's stupid.
Is that good?
That should not be. Yes, very. Like that. That's not something that feels like should be allowed.
Yeah.
And yet you went and did that in week one. And I thought that was something that deserved a level of appreciation. If you disagree, that's fine. We just gonna have to agree to disagree. Something that we can't disagree on, though, right? Something
agree that we to disagree.
Pet peeve.
Like, hey, man, look, just I'm not here to fight. I'm not here. That's what it is.
I'm not here to fight.
I'm not. We can talk a little bit. I'm not here to fight. All right. Let's talk about this man though. A new addition to the team. A lot of eyes were on this man wearing number one. Stephon Diggs got on the board early.
Third down and six. Inside the 10, Stroud, shotgun, Mixon to his left. CJ takes the snap, throws right side, caught, Diggs into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Stroud to Stephon. The Texans take the lead.
Well, they run Nico up the seam, and from the outside coming inside was Diggs. It just kind of cleared itself out. Nice little throwing lane for CJ, and he is accurate as you need to be in that situation.
Great observation, Andre, and I say that because I thought the same thing in real time.
Because I thought it, and you thought it.
So it must be great.
That's right.
That touchdown, well, first of all, Stephon Diggs, you know, two touchdowns for the game.
Six receptions, 33 yards.
That's fine, but I thought that was a perfect example of this is what happens when you have three guys. When you have three guys that can that they have to pay attention to, and oh by the way, they're running the ball too. Like you know that was the perfect example. Like, what do you do? Pick your poison. They picked their poison and they lost. The next touchdown, they picked their poison even more obviously. Who was it? Downs, the cornerback that was way off of him. He was like 4 or 5 yards in the end zone. And they were like on the 2 or 3 yard line. I'm like, what are you doing? You know why he was there? Because
the speed out that CJ's rolling onto his left.
Yes. So they had to kind of account for all these weapons. That was a weapons touchdown, and so was the second one even more so.
They
had weapons.
Yeah. It very much felt like that. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, again, the first touchdown was a slant where he didn't get touched until he's basically at the goal line.
Yeah.
Right? The man that was lined up over top of him, and I understand, right, you end up in some of these situations where off the line you might be able to just beat a guy, but the man that was lined up over him mm-hmm. had no shot in hell of touching Stephon Diggs. And there's been a lot of talk about this wide receiving core. First of all, it felt like Diggs and CJ had a fantastic connection,
mm-hmm.
right? In a way that I guess we kind of saw already when it came through camp and those types of things. But, you know, you never know until week one how it really looks in game. And it looked good, right? But then also, it seemed like there was a very concerted effort to get the ball in his hands as well. Although it was kind of short and in the middle of the field in some ways, that felt a little similar to what happened in Buffalo, although mm-hmm. he got the ball, right? They made sure to get him the football.
They absolutely made sure to get him football. And when you look at the distribution of the targets and catches, it was all over the field. I think two running backs caught balls, four receivers, two tight ends. Like, the distribution is what made this successful all around. And so that's why all these weapons, and we haven't even talked about this, the two biggest acquisitions in the offseason, Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
I mean, what else did you want to see out of those two guys? Okay, maybe you wanted to see some more yards. That wasn't the way. They were picking their poison, and that's why it worked, because they had all these weapons.
Yeah, man, it's one of the things that Stephon Diggs does really well. Like, it's just making sure to run those routes and make it impossible for guys to keep up with you. And when you have someone like Nico Collins, it's who it feels like almost a crime that we've waited this long to mention him. Six receptions, 117 yards, right? When you have that guy that's capable of going downfield and making a pass that was a little short, you know, mm-hmm. and not as much arm as CJ probably needed to put into it, making him right in a situation where he goes jump ball versus two dudes and brings it down. Like, it just makes it hell on a defense. And I found it to be a very good showing when it came to, like, Bobby Slowick, right? I want to give him his credit, mm-hmm. and maybe CJ as well, because CJ obviously has a lot of control on this offense. He's garnered more. I was very impressed with the way that they were able to get everyone involved. And also, for those of you that maybe have some concerns about, hey, is Stephon Diggs going to be happy, it felt like they fed him and did so in a pretty intentional way. And he got a couple touchdowns out of it.
You mentioned the relationship with Stephon Diggs and CJ Stroud. I thought equally as important as what you just talked about, the relationship with Bobby Slowick and Gerard Johnson with C.J. Stroud. Stroud was a better quarterback in terms of, well, more advanced, I should say, in terms of manipulating the pocket, knowing where to take the ball, knowing where he should put the ball in certain situations. That goes back to the relationship with Bobby Slowick. And from Bobby Slowick's perspective, it's knowing what play to call based on what he's expecting or sees on the defensive side of the ball. It was beautiful to watch, man. Absolutely beautiful.
Not going to lie, though. When I did see early on, even though like you end up with a touchdown on that slant, right, early on, I was like, okay, as I mentioned, right, this looks kind of like the usage that Stephon Diggs had in Buffalo. I understand that you are a ticket-carrying or card-carrying. Stephon Diggs is going to be more than fine. It's a great move for the Texans. Member, did you have any level of thoughts, even a passing thought, you know, pun intended, as we'll get that at 11:20, when it came to, okay, the usage, is Stephon Diggs fully integrated, even though, like, after the game, he's walking off with Tank, you know, talking into the phone that ends up on NFL's social media feed, talking about 1-0 and all those things. Right. Did you have any moment of thought where you're like, ooh, okay, are we distributing the ball well? Are they kowtowing to Stephon Diggs, even though ultimately the box score looks like it's evenly distributed?
No, not at all. And then the biggest reason is because every game, you know, gets its own feel during the game.
Yeah.
And this feel was, let's feed Joe Mixon. Yeah. Right. You know, you touched on it. 30 carries. He's not going to get 30 carries every game. He better not. We'll get to that as well.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock, I believe. But beyond that, let's say he gets 20. Well, where are those other 10 plays going to go? You know, and what is the feel for the secondary? And where is the secondary focusing its attention? You know, Nico Collins benefited from Stephon Diggs. You know, but Nico Collins had 117 yards in part because of what they saw and how the defense attacked them.
Right. Yeah, I think you're there. I think like this full complement of teams we're seeing, or rather of players we're seeing, is going to, you know, have a great impact on defenses and the ways that they react to each one another. And I thought, again, wins are the greatest panacea, right? They cure all in some ways, and it felt like everything was up and up, right? When it came to this team, a larger kind of observation for me, as we're kind of spinning this one out. I understand the game was close when it came to the scoreboard. And we can talk about, right, blocked punt, right? We could talk about big plays, right? We could talk about some of those things. Did the game ever feel like this was, like, really in danger? And I know it feels kind of nonsensical, and it seems like it's easy to say after the fact when the win is secured. I can say with all sincerity that during the course of this game, even as it was tight, it did not feel necessarily like this was going to be a dangerous game to me. Am I wilding, or did you also have a similar feeling?
I felt the same way, but let me add something to that. I felt that it was on the brink of maybe losing momentum or control a couple of times.
Okay.
D'Amico Ryans, and you're going to hear this during Passing Thoughts at 11:20. D'Amico Ryans going for it, you know, late in the fourth quarter when he could have easily had points. Shane Steichen, the same thing, his decision. I thought if had it gone the other way, maybe they would have lost control. And some of those third down plays, we know we'll talk about, and we know about the Nico Collins catch and CJ Stroud throw and the late run that you heard earlier from Joe Mixon. Like, it was on the brink. Had any of those four things gone the other way, then I would have been like, okay, kind of feeling like they're losing control. But they all went the Texans' way. Every one of those four things went the Texans' way.
From the 281, hey, Reggie, make sure to get all that DFW stuff out of your system when analyzing the Texans. They have yet to be a disappointment in this. Why feed the narrative of he needed the ball? You sound like all the rest of the media outside looking in, do better.
I didn't hear you say that.
I think my perspective was...
I mean, didn't hear you say that.
There are people in this fan base and around, right? I understand that that's been a larger media narrative that have had that concern. I wanted to speak to that concern. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the ways in which... I think that they did a good job of handling it, right, in week one. And I think also you can go back to Nick Caserio. We mentioned that, or we played the audio with him on Pat McAfee, where it seemed like they did their research and that factored in some ways into them cutting off some of those years off of Stephon Diggs. I'm also, along with John in the book round, I think that he'll be fine. Like, I think that they will handle this in a way where everything will be great. I do want to speak to that. Like, I don't want to be in a place where we do not acknowledge those things. And ultimately... couple of touchdowns, right? Six receptions. It seems like everything's hunky dory just to start the season at the very least.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. Let's just make sure that you understand when you talk about distribution and Stephon Diggs and all that. I say only because we expect more, even though he had a fantastic game. C.J. Stroud only threw for 234 yards.
That's right.
You know, so if you think, okay, he's only going to throw for 200 or 200 and change every week, you're crazy. So Stephon Diggs is going to get his. They just played it perfectly well yesterday. And I'll mention it again, not just, you know, Bobby Slowick and, excuse me, not just C.J. Stroud and his receivers, but Bobby Slowick and his receivers, Gerard Johnson and C.J. Stroud, the way he clearly manipulates the pocket and can float around, they played it perfectly well. He's going to have more 300-yard games than not, you know, I feel. Maybe not with his running game, but I feel like he will. So this was just like, there weren't a lot of passing yards to be had anyway, and they didn't need them.
Yeah, and in some ways, I do wonder if the 713 is right here, and that, you know, one of the things to remember is that, you know, with the receivers, their catches, these teams are going to play back a little bit, and that allows things underneath, as we talked about with the idea of what Dalton Schultz might be able to do over the course of the season. And also, I do wonder if that affected in the run game and Joe Mixon and this offense's ability to go and really play that grown man football like we talked about earlier. But again, 29-27, it's a win, right? A win is indeed a win, and I thought it was largely a fairly comfortable one from my perspective. I appreciate the 832 says Texans trauma is real. I'm never comfortable even after winning. Fair enough.
Hang in there.
And hopefully this team kind of works that out of you as you know, they get a win and hopefully they start stacking them. Week 2 versus the Bears soon come. But 29-27 victory versus the Colts. And, you know, if I'm being negative, that's fine. Let's get some positivity.
There's some haters out there.
I'm willing to acknowledge if that's the case, right? I'm willing to be open in when it comes to self-reflection. Let's do the question of the day. What was the best part of your NFL Week 1 weekend? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Third down and 11 from the Houston 29-yard line. C.J. Stroud, shotgun. Dare to his right. Dell in motion to the left. Crowd deafening. Here's the snap. CJ looking, firing right sideline, and Nico Collins with the catch. He gets the feet down for a first down at the 41-yard line.
Another bad spot, Mark. The spot is tricky. It's right at the 40.
You got to look at this,
which is exactly where they needed to get to, and they may measure this.
What a throw!
Oh.
What a catch.
Oh, and it was game. A first down. First down.
That's right.
Yeah, they fixed the spot. They fixed the spot.
First down on what was exciting week one for you Houston Texans. 29-27 victory in Indy versus the Colts. 1-0. Stand alone atop the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to everybody else not handling
that's
their
a
business.
Wrap.
Okay, excellent.
It's over.
I think there's still a lot of games to be played. A lot of football to be played. Although we were talking about in the break, the idea of 5-1 or maybe 6-0.
I've been saying 5-1 since the offseason. Feeling pretty good about that.
Okay.
Texans are going to go by. Did y'all know this, Figgy? The Texans are going 4-0 to start the year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, in case you were wondering.
Oh, did you put that down?
Put that down because remember I kept saying the Colts is the game that worried me?
Yeah.
And I thought maybe they could lose that one and then rattle off 5 in a row. Well, they won that one, and now all of a sudden Buffalo looks a little dicey, and I hadn't been a big fan of Buffalo. That's the Week 5 game. But after this, they got Sunday Night Football against the Bears, Sunday, of course.
Right.
Dub. at Minnesota.
That might be a little dicey, too.
Dub. Jacksonville here. Dub. They're going 4-0.
Okay.
All right.
Then you got Buffalo here. That'll be fun and interesting. And then at New England, which we'll see. But they look pretty dang good to start the year.
I'm surprised you didn't just go all the way to 6-0. It's a victory, man. Monday. These are the types of things that you say after
they lose one of those games, I'm coming for you.
You come for me, buddy.
All right, Booker T.
It's your fault.
I'll be the one with my chest out.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Let's get into the question of the day here in the loop. We do it every day at 10:40, except on Wednesdays when we talk to our guy, Baseball Spo. What was the best part of your week one weekend? 713-572-4610. I do love how Texans it is. Everybody's like, Texans winning.
Yeah.
Of course. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Which, of course, right? I thought that was the given, but you know what? Didn't explicitly say it. So My bad. But hey, man, what else? What other portions of your week one went really well and swell on this?
I got three of them. One of them not even football related, other than we were watching football when this was happening.
Okay.
The first one, let's just be honest. We'll revisit this, I know. But the old term Schadenfreude, you know, taking pleasure in someone else's pain.
Oh, I love Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude with Deshaun Watson and the Browns. Come on.
Okay, with the Browns.
Come on. I just love that. That was the best part of my weekend. I was like, yeah, he's awful. He's washed. It's never happening. And the Texans have, what, 9 players? How many players they get off of this whole deal here? Seven?
Many.
What? I'm gonna make a T-shirt. Hannah, I know you're listening. She always does.
Mm-hmm.
Thank a Brown. I'm gonna get a shirt that just says Thank a Brown.
Honestly, they need to thank the whole state of Ohio because Joe Mixon.
That
thank
too.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you for that one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank a Brown.
And then also you got the Ohio State quarterback. Ohio doing it big for the Texans, man. Shout out
thank
to
you, Ohio.
Yeah. Where are all my T-shirt people out there? I need a shirt that says Thank a Brown. I'll wear that next week for sure.
We need like a Houston, Ohio shirt.
Yes. Ohio South.
I like what you're doing there.
Or they're Houston, whatever it is.
We're just giving away free games. Somebody out there is just like with a notepad and a pen. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's put this up.
The second one. Is also Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Bryce Young. And
yeah, dog.
God.
Whew. That was your boy, man.
Whew.
That was your boy.
It was. I'm not going to hide from it. That is bad. That is awful up there. Does he just need a change of scenery or what goes on now?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend like I put my eyes to the Panthers game all that much. Over the course of week one. But, like the idea of a different coordinator then coming and shifting these things up, that feels like that's already on a very bad track to the point where we might be isolating the variable some way. I know that was not a team that was built with a ton of talent necessarily. But, the slander is getting closer to your doorstep, young Bryce Young.
Right? Yeah. And then the third one has nothing to do with football, like I said, other than we were watching it. It's a boy.
Hey.
It's a boy.
Hey.
Okay.
That's a great part.
But now you will hear the story, and it is a wild one during Confessions.
Wild one.
It is a wild, okay.
Is that your first grandson?
Yeah, two granddaughters and first grandson. So it's a boy, and we were watching some football when they did that. But you want to stay around for Confessions because this was hilarious. What about you, man?
Here's the thing, right? First NFL weekend of the week. Got the TVs all set up. Mm-hmm. So I got the red zone. I got obviously the Texans game for the noon kickoff and the second Texans game. I say that sounded nonsensical, but it made sense in my head. And I will try and get it out from my head into the microphone and into your ear holes. I put on the game twice and I have the second game slightly delayed.
So you can watch it.
So I have like an instant replay all the time.
Yeah.
Just felt good to be in like my new space. All the TV set up where I could actually focus on the game in a real way that felt comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like it's something simple. And it was to the point where I didn't even think to like make sure to go get like pizza or wings ahead. Mm-hmm. So I just ate what was in the house. But just like having that comfort of, oh, we back.
Yeah.
Like we're really back with the full command setup. Oh, yeah.
That's a good play to delay that second game. I made homemade nachos. I was so into the opener. I said, I got to have me some stadium food. I made homemade nachos. They were good. But what else?
That was the main thing for me, man. Like it was a very simple weekend for me when it came down to Texans getting a win, right? An exciting one, right? We got a good game there. And then on top of that, just like, hey, we're comfortable. And I guess that doesn't sound like a lot when you had a quick move over the course of a weekend and you've been setting yourself up all this time, having the full setup, being comfortable, sitting back and just watching football all weekend. Feels great, man.
Yeah, so outside of the obvious, the Texans beating down the Colts or whatever, look up on the screen right now. What's on the TV? What you see on the TV right now?
A little Baker Mayfield action?
That was one of the best parts of the weekend for me, man. Just seeing that dude, like it was bad the way he left Cleveland. I felt like they did him wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they should have gave him another chance. That last year he played there, he was hurt, and he still played pretty much every game.
Yeah.
And he bounced around a little bit. He took less money to prove himself. This offseason, he got that contract. He got a big contract. And look, they talking about, the question is Baker Mayfield top tier NFC QB?
He's top half, isn't he?
Hey, he looked good yesterday, man. Mm-hmm. It was good seeing him ball out, man. It was really nice
having Mike Evans out there, though.
You know a little something about that, huh?
That dude.
Everybody can't throw it to him, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody got to throw it to him. He was. But it was good. It was good seeing them like that, man. The weird part is watching the Cowboys and Browns game, just seeing how bad Deshaun looked.
Yeah,
hey, let's go to a game break. Baker Mayfield. No, it's 49. I was just like, oh, that's that got to be.
Perfect. Yeah. That's perfect.
That got to be awful for Browns fans, man. Let's go to this next game break. Baker Mayfield with his fourth touchdown.
Oh, right.
Like, oh, he out there having a blast.
832 mentions first week NFL at home making stadium food and nachos. Very solid choice, Lopez. Major thumbs up. 936 also mentions, don't forget Ohio also took Brock Osweiler off of the Texans. So shout out to Ohio once again. All right, we got to litigate this real quick. 972. Best part, Texans went against the Colts in the Colts house. Fair enough.
Yeah.
They also went above and said, worst part, Texans' new uniforms are fail. Had to say it.
No way.
I didn't. Nah, I didn't
no
feel
way.
Like that.
They, to me, they look even better.
They
on the
do,
field, man.
They do. Yeah.
Because we had that conversation up here when a leak happened and all that stuff, and it was questions about it. But I always said from the beginning we got to see them on the field.
Yeah.
Them uniforms.
I thought
on the
they
field.
Were sweet, man.
Yeah, I thought they looked fine.
I'm much happier with them on the field than where I previously been.
Yeah, it was one exactly.
of my Arian Foster even tweeted and said them uniforms look clean.
He sure did. So yeah, man. Shout out.
He's sitting right next to me. You could have asked him yourself.
All right. So now I'm Arian Foster.
I seen him
just because of the bucket hat.
Arian wears the bucket hat.
Okay, so anybody that wears a bucket hat,
that's taking a little too far.
Wow, I'm just gonna get anybody that wears a bucket hat now. So, soon enough, here comes LL Cool J or something. Okay, yeah.
Bucket low light effort though.
shout out to everybody getting their week one in. Hopefully, you had a fantastic week one weekend. You're listening in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, shout out to Timeout Houston, who said them uniforms are fire. Yes, and all sorts of people excited because the best part of the weekend, of course, the Texans getting a victory 29-27 over the Colts. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including we finally got some Guardian caps in live game action. We'll talk about that more next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.